Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
It's Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad here with you on a Wednesday morning. Thanks for joining me here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. I appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners. I guess I don't like saying my great listeners. That doesn't feel right. We'll stick with our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville. I guess I don't need this. It's a little uncomfortable. We're all figuring things out. It'll be all right. Over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. In Starkville or Tupelo, you know where to go. Anywhere else in our great state or our country, in the world, you just go to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com, order it. You'll get it shipped. You can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning right in your home. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. And if you're not cooking out, you don't have to cook out to have a great steak in the state of Mississippi. We got steakhouses all over this state. We can enjoy a fantastic meal each and every time out. If you want to have a great steak in the state of Mississippi, just get in the car and drive. You'll find a place, I promise. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. And you are looking for it. Everything maroon and white is at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, flow by the half shell. Or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You need to talk to the good folks at Priority One Bank, a bank that treats you with respect, that treats you like they know your name, not just your account number. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. All right. We're gonna do something today. We're going to talk football. Now, before you start booing, you know, we got to talk a little spring football. Mississippi State, this is the make-or-break year for Jeff Lebby. We all know it. You know, even the most diehard, you know, I want to believe in Jeff Lebby guy has to be looking at it and going, I believe in Jeff Lebby, but it does have to happen for him this season. And what is that? What is happening for him? What does that mean in the bigger context? Let's talk about that. But first, Jeff Lebby spoke to the media, what media there was that didn't go up to Oxford this weekend. Yeah, a lot of us who would have been there would have were more on the road at that time, unfortunately. But still, a lot of good questions from this press conference. Let's go straight now to that. If you haven't heard it already, this is Jeff Lebby talking after his team's first scrimmage of the spring this past Saturday. So let's go to that right now.
I really like what I saw defensively. Just the effort and the energy and the attitude was what we needed. Offensively, some pre-snap issues with multiple groups that kept us from being able to get into rhythm offensively. And defensively, they were on the attack all day and did some really good things. So we're healthy coming out of it, which is most important. We got the play count that we wanted, and we'll go grade the tape and get ready to do it again on Tuesday.
Well, as an offensive-minded coach, how much do you appreciate some great defensive effort to kind of stress the offense a little bit?
No, we need it. It's a huge deal. It's a huge deal for us to be able to play the way we need to play on the defensive side of the ball to take that next step. So a ton to be able to build on. That's what I just told the defense just a minute ago. Man, so many really good things happening this morning inside the scrimmage. There's going to be a ton to clean up. And if our guys will have the right mindset in cleaning it up and taking great ownership in the moments that weren't what we want, then we'll continue to make the strides we need to make.
Trevion's been here for a while now. As part of that defense, how much are you looking for his leadership?
Yeah, we need Bam Bam to be a great leader for us. You know, he's created consistency inside the building and outside the building. Bam's been the same guy every single day for us. We need that in a huge way, and looking for him to do great things for us.
We've asked you a lot about Camario and his leadership, but Fluff and Ant are guys who are also stepping up and trying to fill some big shoes in those positions. What have you seen from them, the head of those position groups now?
Yeah, those guys are. They're guys that are returning that have had production that we're going to lean on for a ton of production this year. We need them to have a voice, continue to create a voice, and lead the right way. That's the expectation for those two guys. They're doing that. We continue to need more from both of them, but excited about, obviously, their potential from a production standpoint and continue to lead for us.
We haven't had a chance to talk to Marquise Johnson yet, but in the limited practice periods we've seen, he seems to be a guy that flashes a little bit. What are you seeing in the full practice sessions?
A guy that does just that. He flashes. He made a really big play today in the two-minute drill. He's made some big plays. We need to have consistency for him. All the newness, how we play, how we do what we do. We need him to continue to create consistency. He has flashed in some really, really good ways. So that's a conversation every day for him, man, the consistency and being able to go out and operate and execute the entire offense.
Along those lines, you kind of retooled your cornerback room. How has that maybe helped your receivers, maybe refined their game a little bit?
Yeah, it's night and day. There is unbelievable competition in that corner's room right now, which I love. It's the best room we've had since we've been here. It's not close. So Kelly being able to lead that room and continue to bring those guys along, we've got several guys that are very, very capable. And so that's been really fun to watch. Got to continue to get them to grow the way we need them to. But love the competition we have in that room and how it's creating stress for the receivers every day.
We talked to Sam the other day. What have you seen from him in that tight end room?
Yeah, Sam's a guy that I am really excited about. Talked about that through the year last year, and then as we've gotten into it in spring ball, and you know exactly what you're going to get. And Sam's going to continue to get better and better as he continues to get more and more comfortable being the guy, and love just who he is, man, his consistency and how he does what he does. So a guy that we're going to lean on in a great way. And, you know, with Skip backing him up and playing a bunch, for us right now through the first six practices of the spring. Skip's another guy in that room that, man, we need to step up in a great way, and I do. I think he's ready to go answer that.
It was announced this week about the plans for the spring scrimmage, fan day.
Yeah.
How much are you looking forward to that?
Yeah, it'll be great. It'll be great just, again, to be able to get our fan base engaged with our players post-scrimmage more than anything. Again, for our guys, man, just being incredibly thankful for the opportunity, you know, for them having some fan experience there and being able to interact, I think will be great for both sides.
You had pro day yesterday. Obviously, scouts are going to reach out to guys like you to kind of get some intel on the guys. Who are some of the guys you're getting calls about?
Yeah, I mean, I am. I'm getting calls on a few of them. You know, obviously, Brennan, what he's been able to do since the end of the year with his trip to Indy, and then having a really good day yesterday. Sadu is a guy that had a great day yesterday. He's continued to help himself in a great way. Obviously, Blake had a really good day yesterday, threw it really, really well. And so answering questions for all of those guys on the defensive side of the ball, we are talking about Malik and Brylo and a couple others. But excited for those guys. Yesterday was really good. Had great representation from the NFL, which was great to see. And I think those guys are going to have the ability to go make a hand.
You've incorporated recruiting weekends around some of the baseball activities with the big crowds and stuff.
Yeah.
How does that help you kind of sell Mississippi State to kind of piggyback off baseball?
Man, it's invaluable. It really is. The weekend, last weekend was huge. You got a couple of big commits, obviously, that was big time. But again, our people being able to walk straight from the football facility, spend time, hang out, and then walk over and go to baseball and be a part of a crowd like that. Obviously, the way we're playing, the way Coach Oaks got the group rolling right now is so fun for our fan base, our community, and all it does is create energy for us that we're fighting like heck to capitalize on from a recruiting standpoint. So those weekends are a huge advantage for us. We'll continue to lean into that and look for another great one today at 1:30.
You mentioned getting coaches on the field too. I mean, you know, first scrimmage in the stadium with some new guys. Anybody particularly chatty on the headset, or how do you feel like communication went?
No, the communication piece of it's good. There's not a ton of talking, obviously, on the offensive side, so that's the side that I'm constantly on. In a day like today, when you don't have the ability to flip over because there's no breaks in between series, so it was status quo from that standpoint.
Along those lines, you got a couple of experienced guys like Monty and Kevin that have come in, yeah, kind of working on the throw and catch piece a little bit. What's their synergy been like?
It's been really, really good. I love that we have added two guys that have coordinated. Obviously, Monty, being a longtime head coach, his system knowledge of how we do what we do through the roof, the amount of trust there is, and his experiences are huge. And then KJ, man, doing it at a really high level for a long time, has had great production at the quarterback position, has called it, has put it all together. So that's been huge for me. Love where we're at from a staff standpoint. The room has been really, really good. We are much better today than we were, and I'm excited about that.
We're getting a lot of comments from recruits, too, about your assistant assistants, you know, Kevi Thompson and Deshaun Lindsay. Kind of maybe take me through, you know, their function and how active they've been in the recruiting process.
Yeah, I just think with the way college football is changing, guys that are in the assistant, you know, position roles have a chance to affect, you know, the program in a recruiting way that's different than maybe it once was. And so Desmond and Kevi have both been fabulous for us. They've got such great ties to our state. They know so many different people, and they're going about it and doing it the right way. So really good coaches on the grass, but are creating so much value for us as a program because of how they're recruiting daily. And so that's been really good for us.
Let's focus on that first question there, talking about the challenges the defense are putting on the offense. With Zach Arnett there, I have a level of belief in the defense I certainly didn't have last year, and really didn't even have going into year one because Coleman Hutzler was such an unknown commodity, I should say. Zach Arnett is not that. That's a guy that who I believe in, who I trust, who took Mississippi State's defense and made it really good in his time here. And as a guy who I think can do less with more, and a guy who quite honestly was handicapped by some of the way that Mike Leach's recruiting was set up through his off the field guys. You know, I think Zach Arnett, the recruiter, can be a good recruiter. I think he can be, once he's, you know, sort of left to his own devices, I think he'll be fine. I expect the talent level to continue to increase. But this season, you know, go back to that 2020 defense, and what were we saying about it coming into the season? We're like, they are really going to struggle. We all thought that, hey, Mike Leach, they'll be fine offensively, but defensively it's going to be a struggle. And it turned out to be the other way around. So Arnett being here elevates my belief in this defense. And I think they've got some talented guys there. If I can have a healthy Will Whitson, I think we saw some flashes. And look, these guys are upperclassmen at this point. I'm not going to sit here and try to convince you that Trevion Williams and Calvin Dinkins are going to be the next, you know, Jeff Simmons and Chris Jones or anything like that. You know, I think that time has passed. But can they be quality football players for you? They can do that. Dalen Evans, the transfer from Texas A&M, I think he's the difference maker on that defensive line. If you're going to have one, it's going to be him. I love the linebacker group that we talked about yesterday. You know, Lockhart, Smith, Tillman. We'll see with Amari Williams. Gallette is okay. He's okay. You got some players there. Defensively in the secondary, that's really the strength, in my opinion. You went out and you found a couple of quality guys to pair with Kelly Jones. Jones himself will be a likely All-American. I think you're good in the safety room with Isaac Smith and those guys back there. Defense should be improved. So what that tells me then is if they are giving you fits, I don't take that like, if you had told me a year ago that the defense was giving the offense trouble, I would have looked at that and said, well, they're going to be really bad offensively. They're going to be not good because I don't have any faith in that defense. This year, you say that, and I think, okay, well, that's what I expect. I expect that defense to be better and to give Mississippi State a real chance in every game. You know, I've said it a few times, like the Florida and the Florida game and the Tennessee game, I can't put on the defense. All right, I won't put those on the defense. State had two touchdowns come off of turnovers in the Tennessee game. That's what cost them. The Florida game, they held them to 24 points. They should have won that game. The offense cost them that game. But from the fourth quarter of the Texas game on, the defense was completely done. They could not get stops from that moment on. You know, you look at the Arkansas game, and if Arkansas doesn't have 20 penalties, they win that game probably pretty easily because State could not stop them. Missouri was an embarrassment. Ole Miss, there are still wide receivers running wide open from the Egg Bowl. I think Zach Arnett solves those problems for you. Between Arnett and Brock, you got real coaching now on that side of the ball. And you've got real talent on that side of the ball. So I expect them to give the offense some fits, especially when you're talking about an offense that, I mean, we all love Kamario Taylor. We all see the ceiling on this young man. But his next start will be his third start. This is a guy who's, you know, he's very limited in experience. Yes, the talent is unquestioned, but you got to have experience. So I expect Zach Arnett to show him some looks in practice and be like, good luck, kid. What do you think of this? And we also know, that Mississippi State's offensive line is not where it really needs to be. Now, until they play games, I can't judge it completely, obviously, but how can I look at what they did in the portal and what they brought back and just say, okay, yeah, they're fine there. I'm not going to do that. That's going to be the biggest question till we get to game time, till we see them in action, is going to be, what is this offensive line and how good can it be? I'm going to do a podcast. I don't know if it'll be this week or next, but you might remember last year I tried to do a podcast where it was like, what are the best case scenarios? And somebody got really mad at us. You know who you are. Because we said, you know, best case scenario, they're probably like a 7-win team. And you know, that was with everything going right, they could have won 7 games. And that's kind of close to the truth, right? I guess with everything going right last year would have been 8, right? Because I would be willing to give you the best case scenario of them beating Tennessee, Florida, and Texas. Because those are games that if you want to play the they should have won card, you can play it. You can play it on those three. The other games you cannot. There is no, you know, and I get you want to make this look if they had 8 wins coming into the Egg Bowl. If they were 8-3 playing the Egg Bowl, maybe that's a different game. Fair enough, but just on the field results, those are the three games where I can nitpick my way to a victory a lot easier. So I'm probably going to do that this coming soon. Like, what's the best case scenario for Mississippi State? And I'll just give you a spoiler. It's probably going to be pretty close to what I said last year. You know, if they go from 5 wins to 7 with this schedule, Jeff Lebby did a really good job. The question is he doing the job fast enough? And that's where we are. Kirk Cignetti has ruined the curve. He's wrecked it for everybody. Every fan base is going to look at their head coach and say, why not us? This guy went to Indiana and in 2 years won a national title at a program that, if you're looking at it from Mississippi State's perspective, the last 40 years of football have been much kinder to Mississippi State than they have been to Indiana. But he went there and in 2 years won a national title. And so here we are in year 3 of Jeff Lebby, and I'm trying to tell you that the best case might be to win 7 games. Is that fair to Jeff Lebby? I think it's overly fair. I think you can make a strong case to tell Lebby, hey, this is year 3. And if you want to play year 0 stuff with me, that's fine. It's still year 2. You should be better this year. You should be much better at this point. You've been given the resources. You've got a good coaching staff. Your fans have given you the money that you needed. Win games. But at the same time, if I say 7-5 is the best case scenario, am I being fair to the fans who have contributed and who have stepped up and made these kind of contributions? You know, you pay a lot of money for your tickets. That's why, you know, I try not to gripe about where I sit and all that, because I'm not paying for that. I get to go to the stadium for free. I take that. I don't take that for granted. You guys have to pay to get into the stadium. You're paying for the food. You're paying for souvenirs. You're paying for all this stuff. It's an investment. It's a big investment. And nowadays, you know, I don't want to get too far down the Richard Cross path, but, you know, stuff costs a lot of money right now. So are you receiving the bang for the buck, the return on investment? These first 2 years you have not. There's no question about that. Is 7-5 this year, year three, is that a big enough return on your investment? That's something you have to answer. I can't answer that one for you. That's something you got to tell me. Mississippi State goes 7-5 this year. If you're a contributor to State Excellence or the Bulldog Initiative, the Bulldog Club, if you give money, if you've helped pay for players, if you are, you know, doing whatever, and State goes 7-5 this year, and you know, it could be as simple as like, what are the seven wins? Did they find a way to beat LSU? Did they win the Egg Bowl? So, you know, seven wins might not all be created equally. I get that. I think that defensively, if you had had Zach Arnett last year, we would be singing a much different tune about Jeff Lebby. The problem is, if you want to say that, who hired Coleman Hutzler? You know, Lebby dug his own grave with that one. You go back into 2024, and there really is no justifying hiring a first-time head coach and a first-time defensive coordinator. You absolutely should have been like, well, you have to get a veteran here, somebody who has been here and done this before, and they know what's going on, and that you can leave alone and focus on being the head coach. And instead, you hired another guy who didn't have the experience that he needed, and it just did not work out. And then you complicate that with a terrible roster, and 2-10 is what happens. I say this a lot, and I'll say it again. There's a 10-mile above view of Mississippi State that we have to take sometimes. State went from 2 wins to 5 wins, and they were competitive enough to you can play the should-have-been game with them, right? They should have beaten Tennessee. They should have beaten Florida. They should have beaten Texas. They were competitive against Missouri for moments. They were competitive against Ole Miss for half of a game of football. That, in and of itself, is a large improvement, right? You were 3 wins better, and you can make a strong case that you were a play here, a play there away from being a really good season. That's how everyone outside of this maroon and white bubble looks at Mississippi State. They go, well, Lebby's doing a great job. He went from 2 wins to 5, and they were much better last year. And we all like, and they're going to say, that Taylor kid looks like a big-time player, and he's going to help them a lot. And they brought Zach Arnett back. Well, he's a great defensive coordinator. They should be really good this year. You know, they're going to look at the schedule and go, well, that's a tough schedule, but everybody in the SEC has a tough schedule. So that's not – there's nothing you can do about that. That's how everybody outside the bubble is going to say it. Inside, we all watch the games, and we all know some of the shortcomings that Jeff Lebby has as a coach. He's got to fix those this year. There is no more waiting around. If you're 6-6 or worse and you bring him back, I just don't know what you're doing at that point. Then the allegations of you're trying to punt on football are true, but I know that they're not. I know Mississippi State is not punting on football. They are doing everything they can. They are pouring a ton of resources into getting players. The resources aren't the problem for Mississippi State football. The coach is the problem, or has been these past 2 years. The coach has a chance to be the solution. He can absolutely be the solution. I will tell you this about Jeff Lebby. I'll give you two things that if you want to say why should I believe in him, I'll give you two things. One, I think he is exceedingly honest when it comes to his roster. Told us a year ago that he didn't have the offensive line he needed, and they were going to do everything they could. And look, they did do everything they could, but there just weren't the guys to go get last year. But they brought in a bunch of guys, and Blake Steen would have started all year if he didn't get hurt, and Javen James was a big contributor for Mississippi State, and Flapjack Owens started every game. They did everything they could to try to fix that room. He also told us in the spring last year, my receivers are going to be great. You don't have to worry about that. And they were. They were absolutely great. Evans and Thompson were two of the best in the conference. This year, when he talks about things being night and day, I'm going to take him at his word for that because he's always been honest about it in the past. So there's that. And then the other thing is, offensively, I see the potential, right? Well, now that you've got a quarterback that's a real running threat, this offense should be good. All you need is that offensive line to be below average. If they're from anywhere from below average to great, anywhere, that's a large gap between below average and great. But if they can be in that room, this offense will be really good because you've got good players at the skill positions and you've got a potentially elite quarterback. So the pieces are in place for Lebby to surprise us this year. I will say that. He's got some toys to play with. He's got some things working in his favor. He just has to make it happen. That's the biggest thing. So something I'm asking people on these spring previews is, you know, what do you need to solve this spring? What needs to be the answer of something this spring? For Mississippi State, there's not really an answer for that. Because until I see games, I don't know what this offensive line is going to look like. Until I see games, I don't know who the pass rushers are going to be. Those are my two biggest questions. I can't tell you the answer. There's not a position battle for Mississippi State that just has my attention. You know, I like to know who the third wide receiver is going to be. Tight end's interesting. You know, who ends up at left tackle. But the whole offensive line is an issue. So it's not like it's just this one thing. It's not position battles. It's a position group. That's where I am at. So I will, however, against my own nature, play the role of the optimist sometime next week. We will do what's the best case scenario for Mississippi State. I think it will surprise you, though. I think that the best case scenario might not be too far off from what we get, to be totally honest. So we'll see. We'll talk about that a little bit more next week. All right, let's move into we got an SEC preview today. We're going to be a little out of the alphabetical order just because of the scheduling of people. We're doing Florida today. Tomorrow we're doing Arkansas. And then Friday we're going to do Georgia, which also we're going to do Georgia for baseball. And I've got interviews set up for all that. Trying to keep it interview heavy so you're not just hearing my voice for 30, 40 minutes. I don't think that's good podcasting. That's just me. Let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoke Meats and the Older Brother. Two fantastic places to eat. Two Brothers just last week with our former, not former friend. He's still my friend. Former co-host, Robbie Faulk, who, as you saw today, has now made his departure from On3 and from Starkville Daily News. You're wondering what's going on. He's going to Auburn. No, I'm just kidding. All will be revealed. Don't worry. Anyway, what I would like to be revealed is, you know, I open the door and there's a big platter of Two Brothers smoked wings. And of course, this weekend back at Duty Noble Field, I will be enjoying the smoked wings, and I suggest you do too. After going to Ole Miss, look, I'm not going to be one of these people like Swayze sucks. It's a nice stadium. The people there were friendly. I thought the staff did. I will tell you this also. The restroom in their press box is the freshest smelling restroom. They have an industrial strength air freshener putting off some sort of mango scent. Great. But the ballpark food needs a little tweak over there. It's not great. That's why I'm excited to get back to Duty Noble this weekend so I can enjoy some Two Brothers smoked wings. The best ballpark food in the SEC. Two Brothers smoked wings. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business System. They've been doing it for over 50 years. If you need a new piece of technology for your business, a new copier, printer, whatever it is, Advantage Business Systems can take care of you with that. And more importantly, they can take care of you for years to come. They're there for you after the sale. And, you know, so many of these places, they'll sell it to you and then you got a problem? Well, good luck. Good luck with that, buddy. Not with Advantage Business Systems. They treat you like a neighbor, not a number. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Brune & Co. is the place to go when you're looking for Mississippi State gear on the Golden Triangle. Nobody with a bigger or better selection than our friends over at Maroon & Co. Everything Maroon & White, including the cool new LA7 gear from former Diamond Dog Luke Alexander. I have a couple of pieces of that. I can't wear them right now because they're warm weather. They're cold weather stuff. Like, I thought I was going to get another month of cold weather. If I had known What if I was walking into an Oxford on Friday night? I might have broken with the cardinal rule of don't wear maroon and white in the press box because it was cold up there. Whatever you're looking for, Mississippi State, they've got it at Maroon & Co. And they have our promo code, Thunder15. I saw one of our great listeners, Winston Woodard, talked about it. He said, saved a bunch of money. Great. Keep doing that. Shop at Maroon & Co. and use Thunder15 to take 15% off the regular price at Maroon & Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. Guys, this week is supposed to be a rainy weekend, so maybe we can't get out of the yard. But when that sun comes back out, you got to go to war. You got to go to war with the weeds. Not that kind of weed. The other kind, the bad kind. That's what Scruggs Farm and Lawn and Garden will do. They are the armory. They are your supply. And that supply is John Deere. John Deere Green, America's tractor. It's right there for you with great financing available at Scruggs Farm, Lawn and Garden. Whatever you're doing around the house this weekend, Scruggs Farm, Lawn and Garden has a tool, an accessory, a vehicle, or just something. If you're doing leisure stuff, you're hunting or fishing or cooking, it's all right there at Scruggs Farm, Lawn and Garden. They really do have what you want for less at Scruggs Farm, Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. If you're a landowner in the state of Mississippi, Good Hope Land and Timber is the name to know. If you're trying to buy land right now, be it a few hundred or a few thousand acres, Good Hope Land and Timber can take care of that for you, no questions asked. But if you're already a landowner and you want to try to figure out how you can manage your land, not just sustainably but profitably, and we're talking about things like your timber, Good Hope Land and Timber, I mean, it's in the name, right? They're experts in their field. Make them experts in your field with a quick phone call to Good Hope Land and Timber, 442-9888. I looked at my phone before I did this. Like, I think I've got the number memorized. 442-9888. Or go to g-hope.com for more information. You can find out why Good Hope Land and Timber is locally trusted and landowner approved. We are back on the spring football series. We got to try to catch up this week. We're just going to burn through them, if we're being honest. And I'm not doing one a week. I'll be doing them into June if I do that. Let's do a bunch. We're going to do three this week and next week, and we're just going to keep going. Today is the Florida Gators, a team not on Mississippi State's schedule, and it's probably a good thing because I think this Florida team is going to be pretty good. They return a lot of talent, and Sumrall is a coach that I buy into. I think he's a good coach, and he's a winner. But I will tell you this. I thought the same of Billy Napier when he took that job, so we're going to find out for sure. When we talk about the Florida Gators, we normally talk to Graham Hall of Swamp 24/7. So he's about to join us on the Allura Modern Wellness Hotline. Allura Modern Wellness, I got to be honest with you. I got to make an appointment. My back, I'm an old man, all right? I try to stay in shape. You know, I've been doing a better job of that. I walk three to 4 miles a day. I woke up today, I was just like, my back was just like, not today, buddy. You're not that guy. You're not that guy. And I was like, all right, I'm listening. I need to go get in the cold, the cryotherapy. I'm a fan of cryotherapy. But whatever it is you think will help you make you feel better, Allura Modern Wellness can offer you that service. Stretches, massage, heat, cold, whatever it is, Allura Modern Wellness. Check out their website at AlluraModernWellness.com. You can book all of your services right there online, or you can just call them, 662-268-9255. They bring you this interview with Swamp 24/7's Graham Hall as we talk about the Florida Gators. Let's keep going on these spring football previews. Graham Hall joins us from Swamp 24/7. Let's talk about the Florida Gators team, not on the Mississippi State schedule this year, but they have been for the past couple of years. A group of six coach from the state of Louisiana who was kind of biding his time and waiting on the right job. He settles on Florida. Am I talking about Billy Napier or am I talking about John Sumrall? Why is this one going to be different?
You know, John Sumrall joked when Florida expressed interest in him. He said, you know, you guys are really going to do this again? I mean, how are fans going to react to this? He just parted ways with a guy who had a pretty similar rise to the profession as I did. But John Sumrall is his own person. John Sumrall is John Sumrall. I mean, he is just a different type of coach, and we'll see how much that translates to success on the field for Florida. But you can already notice a lot of differences in Gainesville, from obviously hiring Buster Faulkner as the offensive coordinator, who was so highly regarded at Georgia Tech, from just his mentality in the weight room, the admissions, the transparency, quite honestly. And that's not to take a shot at the previous regime, but I do think that there were multiple times where some of the I guess we could say issues at Florida were either downplayed or undersold, and fans came away more angry as a result because they felt led astray, whether it was the weight room or DJ Lagway's situation last year, which I understand protecting him and not to rehash the past, but it kind of was a microcosm for how the previous regime operated, where you didn't have this brutal honesty that is quite refreshing. It's certainly refreshing to cover as a media member, and I think it's refreshing for fans. Now, this is the time where kind of a head coach can almost do no wrong, right? You haven't played any games. You can't lose right now. You can endear yourself to fans without having the win-loss record be how your reputation is derived for people in the city of Gainesville. So John Summerall so far has embraced that. He's been out at basketball games. He's been around the community. He's been, like I said, very transparent and honest. And I think maybe the most refreshing aspect for a lot of people in Gainesville is that we're having a true quarterback competition unfold in front of our eyes. You know, go back to last year with DJ Lagway. Even though he missed all of spring camp as a passer, he was a modified participant, he was never in danger of losing that job. So you had guys taking first team reps into spring and into fall, more reps than DJ Lagway, but they really didn't have a chance of winning that job. I kind of got some flack last year for asking a question about whether one of the guys in Harrison Bailey or Aiden Warner, who had taken the majority of first team reps, had a chance of passing DJ Lagway up on the depth chart and playing in a game. And Billy Napier was incredulous at the suggestion. You now have a quarterback competition between Aaron Filo and Tremel Jones, where whoever is the best quarterback, there's going to be no favoritism shown to Filo coming from Buster Faulkner's offense, even if he has a little bit of an advantage from a terminology standpoint. There's going to be no favoritism shown. So having a true competition is another one of the refreshing aspects that we've been able to glean from the John Summerall era through now 10 spring camp practices, two-thirds of the way through the book.
And that's kind of news to me as an outsider, because I thought that Filo was going to definitely be the guy. How is that quarterback competition rolling then?
Yeah, both guys have looked impressive to me. You haven't really seen much separation, and everything that we've heard is that they're neck and neck almost. One guy will have a better practice, and then the next practice, and one of the other guys will have a better practice. Tremel Jones, I give him a lot of credit for returning to Florida, new staff, didn't play a ton last year, but you know, it would have been easy for him to head elsewhere and maybe have a little more of a guarantee at another program. I mean, he had a kind of, like you said, the belief was that he had an uphill battle to earn the job from Aaron Filo, who Buster Faulkner was so high on, and A.J. Erdely, who was the quarterback's coach at Georgia Tech, he comes to Florida as well as the assistant quarterback's coach. And if you're Tremel Jones, it would have been maybe easy to run away from that and think like, hey, man, I want a fair chance. And am I going to even get that? Yeah, I'm the returning guy, but they're handpicking, in a sense, their quarterback to come in. Tremel Jones has not just embraced that battle. He has elevated his game, which is what you want to see in a quarterback. And he does a lot of things really, really well. He's a mobile passer. He throws a really, really good ball. There have been some times where I have actually watched him throw compared to Aaron Filo, and I've thought that Filo doesn't really throw as good of a ball as Tremel Jones. Now, again, that's routes on air. How is it going to look in a game? Is this going to be a quarterback situation that stretches into fall camp? Is there going to be no clear-cut starting quarterback named after spring camp? My gut tells me that when spring camp concludes in less than 2 weeks, Florida will not have named a starting quarterback. This is going to be a battle that is going to push into fall camp, which again is credit to Jones. I don't think it's an indictment in any way of Aaron Filo. He's got all new teammates, 50 new teammates. The terminology is similar, but there's still some novel aspects of it. And then you have a little bit of an uptick in competition. I know Florida's a four-win team last year, but their talent was not four-win-esque. There's more talent on this roster than they were able to get results out of the field last year. So the combination of those two inexperienced quarterbacks, both pushing each other right now, I do think it's fair to say that it's anyone's job to win or lose right now.
And you kind of hit on something there that I wanted to say, that, you know, when I think of Florida's best teams through the years, they have superstars, not just stars, superstars at those skill positions, wide receiver and running back. They've got guys like that this year. Jaden Baugh is an outstanding running back. Brown and Wilson, bringing in Singleton from Auburn is a huge get. This feels like, on paper anyway, what I expect to see when I look at Florida's skill position guys.
Yeah, I kind of look around at some of the other wideout groups in the SEC and try and look, and there's a ton of talent. I mean, Texas is obviously loaded. But I'm kind of surprised that Florida's not getting a little bit more respect.
Yeah, it's good. It's
a lot of
good,
it's based on potential.
Yeah.
It's based on what you can project, which who knows if that will come to fruition, if they'll exceed expectations or fail to live up to them. But you look at the talent, Dallas Wilson, former five-star wide receiver, played four games last year, but when he was out there, he was fantastic. I mean, his debut against Texas was fantastic last year, set multiple freshman records. If he can do that for a full season and build off of what he showed last year, could be one of the SEC's best wide receivers. Brenell Brown III, incredible knowledge of the offense. Coaches have kind of remarked that when he's asking questions about the offense and the terminology, it almost feels like he's testing them in a sense. And so to get that out of a sophomore, who's also going to be your punt returner, who was an all-SEC freshman last year, could be really, really dynamic for Florida's offense. And then you bring in Eric Singleton, who can work out of the backfield, has knowledge of Buster Faulkner from having been at Georgia Tech before he transferred to Auburn. A guy who can, yeah, like work out of the backfield as well and the looks that he could give the offense. And then you factor in some of the additional, you know, returning guys, TJ Abrams, Khalil Jackson. Can you get anything out of Khalil this year? That would be a win. You bring in a lot of talented freshmen. Davian Gross has been compared to a Percy Harvin type. Now, will he have a Percy Harvin type career at Florida? A long way to go, certainly. But you hear that name thrown around. What could he be in a year or 2 years, or even if he can see the field as a freshman? Justin Williams is a local kid who had a fantastic season at Buchholz. Marquez Daniel, huge body wide receiver, talented. And then Bailey Stockton, I think, is a really underrated addition for Florida. He battled through multiple injuries at Georgia Tech last year, only had around like 200 yards, but he was a standout. He's known Aaron Filo since they were 11 years old, played under Greg Vandegrift up there, who's the father of former, you know, five-star quarterback Brock Vandegrift. So he's been around good coaching all his life. This is someone who could be, I think, a breakout, maybe a dark horse candidate to be one of the SEC's better playmakers if Florida's quarterback play can reach the level that is required to spread the ball around and give these guys adequate touches. In my opinion, it's a loaded wide receiver room. And then talking about skill positions, I mean, you bring back a guy in Jaden Baugh who would have been probably one of the top paid running backs if he were to enter the portal. Mm-hmm. I mean, Texas was looming, it seemed. There are multiple other programs that would have offered him as well. He comes back to Florida. You get Duke Clark back as well. You land two guys in the portal in Evan Pryor and London Montgomery. If Florida's quarterback play and offensive line play is up to snuff, Florida's offense has a chance to be really, really dynamic. Now, a long way to go, but like you said, on paper, they look like they have the playmakers that could elevate this offense considerably under Buster Faulkner.
When you think John Summerall, you think defense. He's one of the best defensive coaches in college football. And it's really surprising in the year 2026 to see how much experience Florida returns in terms of guys who played last year at Florida. That's just such a rare thing. You know, you look at that defensive depth chart, it's a lot of guys who've played snaps for the Florida Gators already. Again, we're talking about on paper, but it just looks like this should be one of the better defenses in the conference.
Yeah, I think Florida returns more defensive production than any other team in the SEC. Now, again, this is a four-win team, but anyone who watched Florida last year, save for maybe that Kentucky game, knows that Florida's defense was not the culprit for its issues. I mean, you have Miles Graham, who one of the better linebackers in the middle, in my opinion. He's dealing with an injury right now, but he's going to be good to go. You bring back Aaron Childs, Jaden Robinson. You bring back multiple guys on that defensive front that probably were getting some interesting offers to hop into the portal, like Joseph Mbachu, Brendan Bett, who I think is poised for a breakout season. You know, he got headlines for all the wrong reasons last year for that spitting incident against USF. But when we talk to him, that's motivating him to prove to people that he's more than just someone who can be known for an unsavory headline. You know, it's motivating him right now, which I think is noble that he's not trying to sit there and say, oh, that's all behind me. He's acknowledging that he's got a lot to prove, and there are people who were doubting him. And he's been a standout for Florida thus far in practice. They brought in Emmanuel Oyebadejo, who has been just fantastic for Florida. I'm still trying to learn how to say his name. I know I butchered it, Oyebadejo, I believe it is actually how it's said. This is a guy who's, you know, 6'7", 305 pounds, physical, just freak. I mean, he's benching 375 at 5 rep max. He could be really good off the end for Florida. And then Jaden Woods would have been, you know, how am I just now getting to Jaden Woods, right? Jaden Woods had a breakout freshman season. He takes that official visit to Texas, enters the portal, doesn't commit to Texas. Florida goes back to his home in Kansas, brings him in, brings him back to Gainesville, and just kind of is not just picked up where he left off, but has hit the ground running. That's someone in that defensive front that I think is going to be really good. The front seven, I think, is going to be really good for Florida. And then you return Bryce Thornton at safety, who has been a starter for the past 2.5 seasons for Florida. You bring back Cormani McClain, Dijon Johnson, two of your starting cornerbacks. You lose Devin Moore to the draft, but you bring back two guys that have starting experience, and then you bring in a bunch of guys via the portal from Kentucky, like Cam Dooley, DJ Coleman from Baylor, DK Kalu from Baylor. This is a defense that has a chance to be really, really good under Brad White. They don't need to be the best defense in the country. Obviously, that would be awesome for Florida, but they have enough talent to be more than just simply serviceable and great. And you'll see that, I think, a little bit more if the offense can stay on the field rather than three and out, which we just saw far too much of last season.
What's something that you want an answer to this spring? What's something that Florida needs to look at this spring and they need to know the answer to it going into preseason?
That's a good question, because I think before spring camp, I would have said you would like some separation from the quarterback position.
Right.
You know the old saying, if you have two quarterbacks, yeah, you don't have one.
Yeah.
Now, how true is that? I think there's some credence to that, certainly. You want to see some separation at some point. But 10 practices in, I'm not so certain that it would be anywhere close to the worst thing in the world if Florida hasn't named a starting quarterback. I think more than anything, Florida, and this is a little bit of an intangible, but they just got to get tougher, man. I mean, they were weak last year, mm-hmm. And part of what I said at the beginning of the lack of transparency, every year, no coach is going to come out and be like, yeah, our strength staff sucks. Yeah, it's leading us to be injured. I mean, you hear that, that's like a red, flag situation right there, And Billy Napier was trying to watch out for his job, so to speak, and watch out for a ton of other jobs in the building. So maybe he was a little less inclined to indict them. But the staff that has come in has said that the strength program here was not where it needs to be. And John Summerall has used anecdotal evidence to prove that by saying that he came in and squat more than all but 4 offensive linemen, that he benched more than a couple offensive linemen trying to go to the NFL draft in April right now. When you have that lack of physical, mental toughness and your head coach can prove it to you, I think it kind of speaks volumes a little bit. This is a team that gained some mental toughness because of the adversity they went through. But a lot of guys that still don't know what it takes to win in this league. No one on Florida's roster has won more than, 8 games in an SEC season? They haven't gone more than 7-5 in a regular season. They need to be mentally tougher and physically tougher. And from talking to everyone around the program, they're getting closer. If they can do a little bit more in the next 5 practices and come out where this staff feels really good about where they are heading into the summer, if the physicality and the toughness, again, intangibles, these are kind of like buzzwords, cliches in a sense.
Yeah.
But that is what is missing from Florida. They've got a coach that can scheme up against the best of the best in Buster Faulkner. They've got talent at the skill positions. They've got 2 quarterbacks they feel really good about. They return more defensive production than anyone else. If they can be tougher, the coaching is there, the talent is there, but they need to be tougher. So that's the biggest thing I'm looking for, how they finish spring camp, how they come out of that looking from a toughness standpoint. That's probably the biggest thing for me right now.
I mean, sometimes cliches are cliches for a reason. You do have to know those things. Let's finish it up with we're asking everybody the same final question here. Black Friday is the last regular season game for Florida when they play Florida State. If I caught up with you on Saturday after and said, what was Florida this season? What was your answer?
I think notably improved.
I think so too.
And part of that's the schedule.
I mean, that game at Auburn.
That's a big –
for gauge, both teams. Yeah.
You know, it's a barometer for both programs. And that game is fascinating to me for multiple instances, because you could make a case that in an alternate reality, John Summerall is at Auburn, and maybe Lane Kiffin's at Florida. Who knows? Yeah. You know, I mean, there are probably still a couple of Florida fans out there, if they haven't been won over by John Summerall now, who are sitting there and say, man, we could have had Lane Kiffin, you know, 4 months ago. But John Summerall, I don't know how well documented this was, but he thought he was headed to Auburn. Mm-hmm. I mean, until the tail end of the process, like we talked about at the beginning, he thought there was no way Florida was going to go back into the G5 and hire a coach from Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
He thought that he was headed to Auburn, and he had handpicked before this process to bring Buster Faulkner with him. Mm-hmm. So probably the two coaches that Florida fans are highest on right now in Summerall and Buster Faulkner could have been in Auburn. So this is a gauge for Florida's coaching staff and for Florida fans to see if they got the right guy, in a sense. And now it's way too early to tell. That's the first SEC game, right? And no one's going to sit here and say, oh, John Summerall's a failure if they don't beat Auburn. I mean, you're going up to the Plains and you got to beat a team on the road in your first ever SEC game with 50-plus new players and a new, you know, staff and all these things after you play Florida Atlantic and Campbell. So this is your first, quote-unquote, real test of the season. But people are going to look at that game and say, let's see the work that Florida has done if it comes to fruition in the past 9 months, or if maybe we were led to believe that things were a little bit better than they were and there is more work to be done. People will feel a lot better in Gainesville about the rest of the season if they go into Auburn and win that game. Now, I do think the rest of the way, and this is not to, you know, I'm not trying to be quote-unquote homer or have orange and blue tinted glasses, whatever you want to call it, but you look at the schedule. Last year I sat there and I said, man, Florida probably, with a healthy DJ Lagway, if they win 7 games, mm-hmm. you could make a case that it was a successful season. I mean, look who they played and where they played them. But I kid you not, I look at the schedule and I think that if this team reaches its level and plays up to its capabilities and doesn't shoot itself in the foot, which we saw far too often in Gainesville the last 4 years,
mm-hmm.
this team could win 8 games or more.
Yeah,
in 2026. And if you double up your win improvement from going from 4-8 to 8-4, people are going to be more willing to spend. They're going to feel more optimistic about what this could look like in a couple years with a full recruiting cycle from this staff. You know, recruiting wasn't the problem under Billy Napier. If John Summerall can be able to recruit at a level similar to the previous regimes, if not better, and they have better on-field results, this could be a top 10 class for Florida. They hit the portal, and then people feel really, really good about their chances of being even better in 2027. So if we're sitting here talking on Black Friday and they go up to, you know, Tallahassee, which, let's be honest, they should beat the Noles.
They should.
I mean, we'll see if Mike Norvell is even coaching that team in the final week of November. If they go up to FSU and get win number 8 or, you know, win number 9, I may sound crazy talking about a 4-win team, maybe winning 9 games this next year. But if they get win 8 or 9, people are going to feel really, really good. And you would, if you told Florida fans 2 decades ago that, hey, 9-win season is good, some people would have been like, what do you mean, man? We won 2 championships in 3 years, 9 wins, not making the SEC championship game, barely missing out on the college football playoff. That's not good enough. We've been patient for so long. There's going to be some people who think that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's going to be a lot of people who sit there and say, okay, look at the improvement that was made in 1 year. Yeah. I feel a lot better about the future.
Week 3, 4, 5, 6 at Auburn, Ole Miss at home, at Missouri, at South Carolina. I think that kind of tells the tale for the Florida Gators this year. Whatever they're going to be is determined in that little stretch of games. Graham, always appreciate your time, man. You're always so generous with your information and your time. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Pleasure's all mine, man. You do a great job. Got to catch up soon for sure.
Thanks to Graham for his time. Always appreciate him, and always great information with him. He's a really good reporter for the Gators down there. Like I said, tomorrow's Arkansas. Jackson Fuller from the Southwest Times Record will rejoin the show. Everybody I talked to from Arkansas was like, we'll do this when we get out of the tournament. I was like, all right. I had Arkansas in the Final Four, so I was convinced I wasn't going to get Arkansas for like another week. They're out. We'll talk about the Hogs. Tomorrow, we'll also talk some baseball tomorrow. We got to start looking at this series. Obviously, it's a Wednesday, Thursday. And now that I think about it, Friday's show is actually a recap show. Now that I think about it, I hadn't I had not considered that. So we will have to, ooh, I got to reschedule something. It slipped my mind that Thursday, Friday, Saturday series. So we'll see what we can figure out. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Until then, appreciate you tuning in. This has been Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk. This is it.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.